Welcome to Today's Issues, offering a Christian response to the issues of the day. Here's your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Hey, good morning, everybody, and welcome to the radio program Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Today's Issues on AFR. I am Tim Wildman. Now, neither Ed Vitagliano or Dr. Ray Pritchard are with us today. Well, they're still alive, but they're not with us here on the show. That sounded like maybe
they're no longer with us.
Maybe they had departed to glory, but they're just not with us on the show today. Walker Wildman is back from his trip to the swamp in Washington, D.C. Had a meeting up there. Good morning, Walker.
Good morning. I made it out without any swamp.
You don't have any moss on your...
growing up on my legs. I made it out alive.
You know, the interesting thing is Washington, D.C. was actually a swamp at one time, if you know the history of Washington, D.C. So good to have you back, and you're going to be doing our Facebook page today, among other things. You'll be co-hosting with me.
That's right. Yes, we're live streaming on Facebook. You can watch the show. We'll have a lot of good guests today. We'll have Chris Woodward, and Dr. Robert Jeffress will be with us in a little bit.
So, yeah, Dr. Jeffress will be with us. He's written a new book called A Place Called Heaven, 10 Surprising Truths About Your Eternal Home. And so for Christians, we're promised heaven when we die. The Bible, Jesus promises heaven when we die, and if we put our trust and faith in Christ. And so where is this place? What is it like? Dr. Jeffress is going to talk about that. Not that he's been there and come back, as some claim they have.
Right.
But he's going to talk about what the Bible has to say about heaven. Chris Woodward is here with us with OneNewsNow.com and American Family Radio News. Good morning, Chris.
Good morning. Thank you for having me again.
Before we go on here, yesterday I wanted to apologize for something I felt bad about last night. I read a comment on our Facebook page. I said that I questioned whether the federal government should be responsible for bailing out, and that's not the right way to phrase it, for paying out all these billions and billions of dollars to the various states that are affected by natural disasters and hurricanes. Okay. The way I said it, nobody came to me and said they were offended. I just know I saw one comment on our Facebook page. Mm-hmm. The way I said it may have sounded like I was heartless. I am asking a question that maybe needs to be answered some other time. Mm-hmm. But we do have money set aside in the federal government for emergency matters. But I'm saying when that money is busted wide open, like it's going to be with Hurricane Harvey and with this other hurricane barreling down on Florida and who knows what other states. Let me just confess this. I don't know what I'm talking about. So when you do live national radio, sometimes you say things and you speak of ignorance. And I spoke out of ignorance when I said that yesterday. I don't know what I'm talking about. I'm just asking a question that doesn't have an answer.
Yeah, well, I think what's happened is Washington, D.C. spends so much money on so many wasteful things that we become weary of writing another $8 billion check.
Right.
So should the federal government provide aid? I think in some form or fashion. But we spend so much wasteful money. If we could cut back on the wasteful spending, then we might have a little more money to help the people in Texas.
One of the posters on, if that's what you call them, on our Facebook page made the point that they wanted me to know that a lot of this federal money that comes in to help goes for roads and bridges and infrastructure and things that the government, be it state, local, or federal, are truly responsible for.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And help everybody. So those things are yes, the government should help rebuild those things, absolutely. So I didn't want to say, I wanted to apologize because I didn't know what I was talking about. I just sort of spit something out that sounded, if you're in the places affected by the hurricanes, it sounded like, well, here's a guy who's talking who's not impacted. He ought to see the devastation I'm seeing. Mm-hmm. So that's what I wanted to apologize for. Now, so that's my second apology this year for something I've said on the radio. There won't be any more, people. There won't be any more until we get a new year, because I'm not going to.
You've capped out your
apology
budget.
I'm going to double down like President Trump and not apologize for anything. All right. So Chris Woodward is with us, speaking of hurricanes. Right. Chris, what's going on there?
We're continuing to keep watch on Hurricane Irma. It continues to make its way towards Florida. And if you look at the map, Fox has this, other networks have this as well. It looks like it's pretty much going to hit the Florida peninsula. Although, when you look at all the other stuff that may happen from that, it could affect all of Florida. And we're talking about the panhandle as well.
Chris, excuse me just a minute. Florida is a peninsula.
The peninsula part of Florida. We're talking about
peninsula within
Florida.
A peninsula?
Yes.
Right.
Not okay. The panhandle part, the other
right,
part.
Right.
You're talking about south tip of Florida.
Yes.
Okay, gotcha.
Right. And we're looking at anything from a 5 to a 3 to a 1. I mean, even Savannah, Georgia looks like it's going to get something from Irma. And we've already seen a death toll increase earlier today, and these are preliminary reports, so bear in mind that it could be a higher number. Irma cut a path of devastation across the northern Caribbean, leaving at least 10 dead and thousands homeless after destroying buildings and uprooting trees on a track Thursday that could lead to a catastrophic strike on Florida. Speaking of Florida, it's apparently getting harder and harder to find supplies in southern Florida as the state braces for Hurricane Irma. We've got a Fox News report here from Eben Brown from Pembroke Pines.
Good luck finding water or sandbags now. Some people are just getting started shopping for supplies because they say they weren't paying attention.
Channel 7 News, I saw that preparedness list, which is what you guys had, so I'm out here trying to make it happen.
And fuel is an issue. There is gas in the state. The federal government is allowing more to be sent to Florida. The problem is transporting it to all the gas stations, which often bag up their pumps after having run out of the product. In Pembroke Pines, Florida, Eben Brown, Fox News.
Now, coming, that brings us back to some sound that we aired yesterday from Governor Rick Scott, urging people to be prepared, to not take this for granted, to be prepared. Don't just sit back and assume it's not going to affect you. Hmm. Meanwhile, buy what you can. Buy what you need, not what you want. That's why we tend to see shortages on water, food, gasoline, things of that sort. Although the good news there was the federal government is going to do some things to apparently allow more gasoline to be sent to Florida. You know, the interesting thing with this, guys, I don't know if you're aware, but every month is always some kind of observational month. It's this kind of month. It's that month. September, even before Harvey, was already designated to be National Preparedness Month. Every time we have a hurricane, every time we have a tornado, we always have stories about people that aren't prepared. Now, I know you can't prepare for everything.
Right.
But I think this might be the difference. This might be the year where people are like, you know what? Harvey was bad. Then we had Irma. Now we've got other ones, Jose, on the way. Yeah. I think we may actually start to see more people be prepared. Now, I can't say everybody's going to be, and again, you can't be prepared for everything always. Right. But I think we might see a change of tune for a lot of Americans.
What a lot of people don't know is, you know, Irma is probably going to be pretty bad for Florida. Mm-hmm. And so I don't want to make light of that. But one thing people don't really pay attention to is these islands down in the Caribbean that get pounded every 10 years by these hurricanes. Mm-hmm. And they don't have FEMA. You know, they don't have these ministries that go down and rebuild homes. Some of these countries are still rebuilding from hurricanes 10, 15, 20 years ago.
Right.
So I know it's already hit some islands down there in the Caribbean. But
did y'all see where, you know, Richard Branson? Mm-hmm. He's the billionaire who owns Virgin Airlines. Well, he has a home there. He lives on some small island down there in the Caribbean. And they said, I was reading a report last night, that whatever island that was, I should know, but to your point, Walker, was completely wiped out. His compound, whatever it looks like, I'm sure it's magnificent because, I mean, you know, he's so wealthy.
Right.
It was wiped. It was the only the people survived.
Mm.
who were there. Everything else was destroyed on his home property there. But you're right, Walker. These small Caribbean islands were just that this storm went through were just absolutely devastated, and they don't have the Congress to pass a law, you know, providing $8, $10, $15, $20 trillion
right.
for hurricane relief. So the point is, you're saying that according to the weather reports, that the Irma is still of Category 4 or 5?
I'm not sure at the exact moment. It's been a 5 leading up until this morning.
But it's still headed for South Florida.
It still is headed for South Florida. They've postponed, the NFL has postponed the upcoming matchup between the Dolphins and the Buccaneers in Miami. They're going to make them play later this year. We've already seen a number of evacuations, orders, plans, what have you. Some schools are canceling.
Gotcha.
Things like that. And, gotcha. You know, we're talking about Irma, but we're still feeling the effects of Hurricane Harvey from a couple of weeks ago at this point. The number on our website today, onenewsnow.com, the number of people seeking U.S. unemployment benefits soared last week by the most in nearly 5 years, driven by Hurricane Harvey's impact on Texas and Louisiana. 298,000 is a lot of people. It's not an astronomical amount, but it's a substantial increase from what we've seen in the past how many
applying
ever months
for
it's
what?
Been. Applying for unemployment benefits.
So what you're saying is because of the hurricane and Hurricane Harvey, a lot of people lost their jobs.
Right.
And they're not going to go back to those jobs anytime soon. So
right.
They're going to need
this. This is a temporary benefit or assistance from the federal government, which does step in and offer these kinds of things, not only to disaster victims, but people that might have lost their livelihood due to a whole host of reasons. Another thing that I think is something we should all be watching for, praying for, certainly there's a lot of ministries in Australia that might be impacted by this. Australia today, beginning today, is going to hold a national vote on same-sex marriage. It's apparently going to be a mail-in vote, and ballots will be sent to Australians starting next week. Voters have until November 7th to mail in their votes, and the final result will be revealed on November 15th. But for some reason, it's not going to be binding. I'm not sure how that works. That may be the way their government is structured. A CNN poll today shows 63% of Australians support same-sex marriage. So that might give you an idea on how things turn up there in Australia. But again, a lot of churches there, a lot of missions, people, speaking out against these things.
I'm not sure about those polls. I didn't look at the statistics that they used, but I know for sure, talking about polls, a lot of the presidential approval rating polls that you've been seeing, how President Trump's the lowest approval rating ever, et cetera, I read to where a lot of these, you know, you had, I think, 33 to 34% of voters were Republican and like 35 to 36% were Democrats as far as popular vote goes. Well, CBS and these other media outlets are using 20% Republican and like 40 and 50% Democrat turnout. It's a hypothetical.
Mm-hmm.
That's why his approval rating is so low, because they're using twice as many Democratic voters, even though that's not how you're supposed
right.
to run your model as to what the last election was like, what the turnout was, which
Walker,
was 33 and 38%.
Are you saying the liberal news media would distort polls
that's
against President Trump?
That's a shocker, isn't it?
Wow.
That's a shocker.
Did you know this, Chris?
I'm astounded.
But it's not that that's surprising, but here's what happens. When a conservative media outlet runs a poll,
right.
The media always goes, "Well, what kind of numbers did you use?
Yeah.
Where did you get your numbers from?"
Right.
And they criticize the way they went about doing the poll.
Yeah.
But when CBS runs a totally skewed number poll, nobody looks behind the curtain and says, "Well, what kind of numbers did you use?"
Hey, by the way, on a good news front, so far American Family Radio has received this amount of money from our listeners that is going to go into the 8 Days of Hope ministry, who's going to help do what they can in the aftermath of Hurricane Harvey. They're going to be working out of Houston. 8 Days of Hope, Steve Tiber has been all over the AFR for the last 24 hours. So far, we've raised over $87,000. I'm pleasantly surprised at this. I had a goal of 50, maybe. $50,000. This is people who are listening to us right now who have given $20, $30, $40, $50, one-time right. gift.
Mm-hmm.
And as we promised yesterday and today, Walker, what we're going to do here at American Family Radio is just collect this money. That's all we're doing. We're passing the offering plate, so to speak. And whatever comes in, right now it's $87,110.79.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever comes in by tomorrow, we're going to write a check to Eight Days of Hope and give the money to them. We're not taking any money from this. American Family Radio, we're just a conduit.
Right.
We're not taking a cut or anything like that.
Yeah, what happened here is a lot of folks ask us, because they trust AFA and AFR, who should I give to for Hurricane Harvey relief funds? Well, this is who you should give to. You should call. You can visit AFR.net, AFR.net. Here's the phone number if you want to call, if you're not an internet person or you're not around a computer. First, you can visit AFR.net. Easily give there. It takes 5 minutes. Here's the phone number, 877-616-2396. The phone number to call and give to 8 Days of Hope. All the 100% of the proceeds that we raise over the next day will go directly to 8 Days of Hope. And every penny they spend, we know we can say for sure it is spent wisely.
Absolutely.
It's not wasteful
spending. Or we wouldn't be promoting them.
Right. We can trust 8 Days of Hope. The money is going to go directly to help families affected by Harvey. Here's the number lastly, 877-616-2396.
So if you want to give to help the hurricane victims, and you're looking for somewhere to give, there are a lot of great ministries to give to.
Mm-hmm.
This, but 8 Days of Hope we can vouch for sure, because we've known them so long, and Steve Tiber and his team, they do great work, and they're Christian based, so we know that they're doing this, and then they're also sharing the gospel with the families that they help. You're listening to the radio program Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network, American Family Radio. We have if you're wondering how many radio stations we have 184, right, Walker?
That's right, 184 stations. Some new markets that we're in. We're in Jacksonville, Florida. We're in Corpus Christi, Texas. We are in Northern Virginia, Huntsville, Alabama, just to name a few.
Lexington, Kentucky.
That's right.
Montgomery, Alabama, some of our newer stations along the American Family Radio Network. Last I heard, Corpus Christi, one of them was back on. It was down because of power outages. All right, so you're listening to AFR and Walker's posting stories that we're talking about here on our Facebook page, our Today's Issues Facebook page. And if you want to go there and listen or watch the show live, you can do that. And what's the next story on your agenda there, Chris?
Well, you know, we had the Sheriff Arpaio pardon situation from how many ever days ago it's been at this point. That was the way it was generally headlined. A former Navy sailor whose conviction and imprisonment for taking photos inside his nuclear submarine were criticized by candidate Donald Trump has been released, and the one-time mariner is now hoping President Trump will follow through with a pardon. This is the 30-year-old Christian Saucier. We've talked about him before on this program, certainly on American Family News. He was convicted last year of unauthorized retention of national defense information, which is a felony, and he received what's called an other-than-honorable discharge from the Navy and faced up to 10 years in jail. He was talking about this with Fox News Today. It's his first interview since leaving a Massachusetts jail. And again, he's hoping that President Trump will pardon him. He said he didn't mean any ill will. He wasn't trying to take pictures to share with the Russians or some other country that might want information on what our subs look like. But again, what he did is illegal, according to the law. And so some people are upset with what he did. He says, you know, I made a mistake. I was just trying to, you know, have some mementos for later when I get out of the Navy. His mother's been very outspoken on this. She talked with our Chad Gurning about this. So we'll be following up on this. But I think the argument that you might hear from people is, you know, you have to draw the line somewhere, and where do you draw the line? Is there a similar situation between Sheriff Arpaio and what this person did? That's certainly a big decision that the president may or may not make in the coming days.
Well, former presidential candidate Hillary Clinton's sharing the blame, isn't she?
She is. She's had
some
books out.
Got a new book coming out.
She's had some new books out. Now she's blaming Bernie, which kind of blows apart the whole Stronger Together, you know, movement.
Also blaming women.
She's blamed everybody at this point, pretty much, except for maybe Chelsea. Although that's
a funny picture I saw online yesterday, and President Trump retweeted this. It was a picture of Hillary Clinton's book titled mm-hmm. "What Happened," then our names underneath that. Well, somebody put right beside that same book template, "I Happened," and then President Trump's picture right below that. But back to the sailor, mm-hmm. the Navy sailor, who is attempting to get a pardon right. for what he did there. My initial reaction, my cynical reaction is, yeah, let's pardon him. If Hillary Clinton's going to get off the hook, let's pardon him. But my gut instinct is we don't need to pardon him, even though what he did maybe wasn't, you know, treasonous, but he still did break the Navy rules and mm-hmm. the law. I don't think he should be pardoned just like everyone else who breaks the law, but I think Hillary Clinton and folks like her who have been let off the hook by the FBI and the Justice Department, I think they need to be prosecuted just as this gentleman is.
And certainly a lot of people will talk about that. They'll bring up the statement or opinion from some people in the FBI that, you know, her situation is no longer in the public interest. Mm-hmm. I don't know what, you know, website they're visiting or people they're talking to, but certainly people are interested and they want to know.
Well, is that how we judge law and order?
Right.
We take a poll, see how many people are interested in.
Well, it goes to show you, too, that if you drag something out long enough to where people get bored or they get distracted by maybe a hurricane, then you can say, meh, you know.
That was an odd statement, to say the least.
You're listening. Well, but Hillary Clinton's book, it's out now, right?
It's out now. Now, so her pastor or former pastor that published some sermons or something of that note, that is in a different situation. I think they're pulling some copies of that based on some discrepancies in
her
book. Writing.
Not her book. Two different books.
Two different books.
Her pastor is being accused of plagiarism on some book. What was the book about?
Well, it was basically like his spiritual guidance and...
You plagiarizing somebody's spiritual guidance?
Some prayers and things like that. Some writings that weren't properly
prayers?
Attributed. Right. So, I didn't know you could do that. But.
So is Hillary sticking by him?
She hasn't blamed him yet for the loss.
Well, that's coming.
She's going to need somebody next week.
She did blame women for that.
She really has blamed everybody. It's not an overstatement.
Women did because of...
Blame the media. She blamed the Democratic Party. What's interesting is there are people still in her party that will just roll over because they want her in office and they're willing to overlook her statements about them.
I think she's just trying to sell books, too. She's trying to sell books. But it doesn't help her to get into a fight with Bernie Sanders at this point, I don't think.
No, it does not.
He still has a lot of supporters, and that's really split the Democrat Party.
Oh, sure.
Now, I'm not saying any Bernie supporters, maybe a handful voted for President Trump, but still maybe some of them stayed home who would have otherwise gone out because of the animosity that existed between the Hillary Clinton campaign, which represented the, quote, establishment of the Democrat Party, and the insurgent.
Really?
Bernie, I need to comb my hair, Sanders.
Really, if anyone should be upset, it should be Bernie Sanders because he was cheated out of that.
Flat out cheated.
If folks look at this, and a lot of our listeners don't look at this because they're Republican voters, but if you look at the Democratic primary process, there's like hundreds of superdelegates.
Never had a chance.
That are not obligated by their state elections to vote for the establishment candidate. Mm-hmm. So it was decided before the primary.
Right, and the whole Democratic machinery was, you know, working, even though they tried to say they were neutral.
Right.
Donna Brazile and what's her name?
Schultz.
Wasserman Schultz.
What's her name?
Debbie.
Debbie Wasserman Schultz? Mm-hmm. DWS? She, that whole...
collusion
that was stacked against Bernie Sanders.
Yeah.
All right, so the Democrats, they have their own establishment.
They do.
Just like the Republicans have their own establishment. Hey, Dr. Robert Jeffress is going to be with us. We're going to talk about his new book called A Place Called Heaven coming up in just a few minutes. Stay with us.
On the next Today's Issues.
Walker Wildman is handling our Facebook presence in the world.
Yeah, if you have a Facebook account, just type in Today's Issues in your search bar, and then our page will pop up. and you can watch the show there every day, or you can view all the articles that we talk about.
Right, but you can also be our friend.
Don't miss the next Today's Issues, weekday mornings at 11 Eastern, 10 Central on American Family Radio and on Facebook.
Hello, everyone. I'm Tim Wildman, president of American Family Association and American Family Radio. I know the first time I ever went to Israel, you land there in Tel Aviv, you get off the plane, you get out on the bus, you start driving through the plains of Sharon outside of Tel Aviv, and you just pinch yourself and you just say, am I really here? Am I really in the Holy Land, the land of the Bible? Or was this just a fairy tale I read about as a child? No. It's a real place. The Bible is true historically and, as we know, spiritually. So if you want to join us on this trip to the place where you pinch yourself, we're going in March 8th through the 16th. All the information is available at the website twholyland.com. twholyland.com. If you want a free brochure sent to you in the mail, just call us at 800-FAMILIES. 800-FAMILIES. Option 5.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Stearns with news and commentary next. A Senate confirmation hearing for federal court nominee Amy Barrett took an ugly turn after Democrats attacked the nominee's Catholic faith.
Do you consider yourself an Orthodox Catholic?
I am a Catholic, Senator Durbin.
Senator Dick Durbin's line of questioning paled in comparison to what Senator Dianne Feinstein said.
The dogma lives loudly within you, and that's of concern.
Barrett is a law professor at Notre Dame. She's also a devout Catholic. Miss Barrett once spoke at a gathering for Alliance Defending Freedom, leading Senator Al Franken to accuse her of cavorting with a hate group. It was a false and scurrilous charge, but it demonstrates the religious hostility of the Democrats, although their hostility seems to be directed at Christians. Muslim nominees, not so much. Still, someone on Capitol Hill should remind the Democrats it's unlawful to subject Americans to a religious litmus test. I'm Todd Stearns.
This is Today's Issues. Email your comments to comments@afr.net. Past broadcasts of Today's Issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at afr.net. Now, back to more of Today's Issues.
Welcome back, everybody, to the radio program Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Hope you're having a great day. And thank you for listening to American Family Radio. Walker, nice fall weather spreading across most of the country.
Yeah, it's abnormally right cool this time of year in the South. It's usually 95 to 100 degrees right now.
For another week or so. Mm-hmm. Refreshing weather across most of the country. I guess out west it's really, really hot and on fire in a lot of places. That's not even being talked about much. All the wildfires out west, which are very serious because of the attention given to the hurricanes, and the hurricane attention is deserved. Anyway, we have got a very special guest in studio today, our good friend, Dr. Robert Jeffress, who is senior pastor of the First Baptist Church in Dallas. He's also host of Pathway to Victory, which is heard every day, weekdays, here on American Family Radio, a Bible teaching program which our listeners love, and he has got a new book out called A Place Called Heaven, 10 Surprising Truths About Your Eternal Home, and he's with us here in studio. Good morning, Robert.
Good to be with you, Tim. Walker, thanks for having me.
Now, how long have you served the First Baptist Church Dallas now?
This Sunday, I'm having my 10th anniversary there, so it's hard to believe. Actually, I grew up in the church. I was there all of my life, started out as a youth pastor there, went away and pastored other places for 22 years and came back 10 years ago.
You know, that's a blessing not many people experience right there, because that had to be your dream job in a sense.
Well, it's an honor to be right back there. Of course, you know, we have at least 1,000 women in our church who claim they changed my diapers in the nursery. But, you know, that's It's funny how those stories
Oh, man. So you grew up in at the church.
Dr. Criswell was my father in the ministry.
For all those years.
I was in his office when I was five and prayed to accept Christ there, and he was a great mentor.
You know, I've been to your church a couple times, and one time you took me around, and I saw the inside of the church building, the new church building, relatively new, about 4 or 5 years old now. You guys maintained the old. Tell us about that.
Yeah. The old sanctuary, which was built in 1890, we decided to keep, and we're actually using that old sanctuary for our contemporary worship service. If you can imagine, it's kind of a retro deal, but it has a lot of memories, a lot of great memories. You know, so many presidents have visited there. Billy Graham preached there many times. So anyway, it's blending the old and the new.
All right, one other question I got for you about that, and then we'll get right to the book. You mentioned your contemporary worship service
right
there at Dallas First Baptist Church. Now, do you go to the contemporary worship service, or do you go to the traditional worship service?
Well,
you have to go to the traditional one because you preach there.
Well, what they do is they have their own music in the contemporary service, and then I come in by video for the message.
But I'm saying, do you like the music?
You know, I'm very eclectic. I like all kinds of music. How's that for a dodgy answer?
I'm trying to put you on the spot, and you're doing a great job of dodging the.
I like them all. Good answer.
Hey, I'm like you. I like the praise and worship, modern day praise and worship. I also love the old hymns. So
yeah, we do a good blend of those. So.
Amen. Amen. You got a new book out, which we're promoting here today on this program, which is called A Place. The title of the book is called A Place Called Heaven, 10 Surprising Truths About Your Eternal Home. And we're going to tell you how to get this book, folks. This is a great book, not only for the Christian, but also as a witnessing tool to the non-Christian who may be curious about the afterlife, about what happens when you die. Why did you decide? You've written on many, many topics. Why this one?
Well, you know, I think, first of all, people would say, you know, with everything that's going on, you were just talking about, Tim, you know, hurricanes and fires and potential North Korean nuclear conflict. Why in the world talk about heaven? Well, that's exactly the reason to talk about heaven, because no matter what is happening in this world, the problems we experience globally or even in our own life, God says they're temporary. He has a better place for us, and it's a place called heaven. So this book is an inspirational book. It's a book of encouragement that I think we all need right now, but it's also meant to be an informational book. You know, Tim and Walker, if you knew your job was going to transfer you to a foreign country right in 6 months and you're going to be there for the rest of your life, you'd do everything you could to find out about that new country to where you were going,
right,
and you'd start making preparation for it. Well, if we're Christians, we're all going to go to that place, a new place called heaven. It only makes sense. We'd want to know about it, and we would prepare for it. And what I've done in this book is I've answered the 10, as you said, most frequently asked questions people have about heaven, like, what are we going to do in heaven? Will we know one another in heaven? Will heaven be the same for everyone? We've answered these questions from a biblical viewpoint, not from what somebody, you know, sat up late one night and conjured up about heaven,
right,
or had in a dream about heaven. What does God's Word, the only reliable guide, say about heaven?
All right, folks, you can buy this book for $19.99 from us here at American Family Radio. You need to get a copy of this. We'll send it out. We already get these in stock, don't we?
This will be pre-ordered, but they'll be soon to follow.
Okay, so the books, do we have the book?
The book just was released this week, right?
Tuesday. Yeah.
Yes. Okay. Okay, it's a hard copy, hardcover, right?
Yeah, yes. Hardcover, 256 pages.
So it's a hardcover book. You hear that, people? It's a real book. Okay, and you need to get this for $19.99. We're offering it. You can get it two ways. Go to our website, afastore.net. Simple as that. AFAstore.net. It's front and center. Mm-hmm. The book is titled A Place Called Heaven. Or you can call, right, Walker?
That's right.
So if you call this number, they'll take your credit card and they'll send you the book out. Just say, I want the book that Tim is talking about with Dr. Jeffers. Or just say, I want that book on heaven. Mm-hmm. It's called the title of the book, the proper title is A Place Called Heaven. How do they call and get the book, Walker?
Yes, you can call 877-927-4917. That phone number is 877-927-4917. 4917. And one question I wanted to ask Dr. Jeffers regarding the topic of whether you will see or know your loved ones in heaven.
Yeah.
I've heard very different opinions on this, which is probably the problem, opinions on this. But, you know, a lot of folks, and even myself, wonder, you know, we spend our life with our spouse. Mm. We raise our kids, our family. We invest most of our life here on earth in our family and keeping our family healthy. Will we be able to see our loved ones in heaven? What's your short answer that you cover in the book?
Yes. How's that for a short answer? And it's a definitive yes. In fact, that's one of the 10 questions I answer from a biblical standpoint. Will we know one another in heaven? The way I know that, Walker, is, look, the Bible says, Colossians 1, that Jesus Christ is the protokos, the prototype of us in the resurrection. In other words, his resurrection body was the first. It was the sample of what our resurrection bodies are going to be like. And, you know, Jesus' disciples recognized him. Mm-hmm. They didn't recognize him at first all the time. Sometimes it was dark. Sometimes they were surprised to see him, just like we are when we see somebody in a place we didn't expect to see them.
Right.
But they knew him. He kept some of his distinguishing features. Mm-hmm. We will know one another. And that's right. The fact is, our life is a continuum that begins right now and extends through eternity.
Right.
And while we won't have, for example, the same marital relationship we have here on earth, that doesn't mean we don't know our spouse. In many ways, we will know and appreciate them more than we ever did before in that place called heaven. And I think this is one of the biggest myths that people have about heaven. They think if we're a Christian, when we die, we become somebody else in heaven. No, it is we who are going to be in heaven. Mm-hmm. We're going to have our same names in heaven that we have here on earth. We're going to have the same personalities. We're going to have the same gifts and interests, and we're going to have the same relationships as well. And that ought to be a great comfort to people.
Yeah, that's encouraging.
Now, is heaven... Again, you researched the Bible on this, and I know did a lot of reading of scholars who talked about this mystery down through the centuries. But a couple of questions that you talk about here in the book. One is, when we die as Christians, do we immediately go to... Are we transported, so to speak, to heaven?
That is a great question. And again, one of the questions I answer in a place called heaven, do Christians immediately go to heaven when they die? Look, the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:8, for a Christian to be absent from the body is to be at home with the Lord. The moment we close our eyes here on earth, we immediately awaken to be with the Lord Jesus Christ. We are with the Lord. Where is that? Well, it's what the Bible calls the third heaven. We're awake, we're conscious, we're experiencing the blessing of heaven, but that third heaven is not our ultimate destination. It's only a temporary destination. Eventually, the Bible says in Revelation 20, the Lord's going to completely destroy this present heaven and earth with fire, and he's going to create a new heaven and a new earth. Our final destination, Tim, is not going to be up there floating around in the clouds. It's going to be right here on this recreated earth, just as God intended it to be. We were designed for this world. John said in Revelation 21, I saw the new Jerusalem coming out of heaven to the earth. We're going to be here on earth. And so our ultimate destination is not us going up there someplace to be with God. It is God coming down to dwell with us just as he originally intended to.
Wow.
Wow. We're talking to Dr. Robert Jeffress, J-E-F-F-R-E-S-S, and he is with us today. The book is called A Place Called Heaven. We're going to tell you again how to get it in just a minute. 10 surprising truths about your eternal home. I know Walker has another question or two. Here's my second question. You answered the one, do we immediately go to heaven when we die? But this is people, you know, we Christians talk about sharing the gospel message with non-believers. A lot of language we use in the Christian community, people who are a non-believer or aren't churched, you know, they don't know what you're talking about. With the language that we use oftentimes, but we know what we're talking about. But here's the thing. Jesus came to earth 2,000 years ago and lived a perfect sinless life, and then went to the cross and died on the cross, went to the grave 3 days, went to the, I don't know how long exactly, but went to the grave and then was resurrected. Okay. Now, that's important with a capital I, because not all people go to heaven. And you've written on this, and that's it's a reality of the Bible, right? Not all people go to heaven. I say that to bring up this. If I'm listening out there to this conversation, and I want, and I'm saying, you know what? I don't really know about this religion stuff, but I hear what Tim's asking here. I hear what Dr. Jeffress is sharing. I want to go to heaven when I die. So answer the question, what can you do to assure that you go to heaven?
Let's go back to that image of getting ready to go to a foreign country. You know, to get into a foreign country, the first thing you've got to have is you've got to have a proper passport. Without a proper passport, they're not going to let you in. I'll never forget years ago when I was a youth minister at First Baptist Dallas, 1978, we took 200 kids to the Soviet Union. And I tell you, it was oppressive. Finally, the day came we were going to get out of there. We couldn't wait to get out of there. Our plane was leaving Moscow at midnight. We went through passport control. I sent all the kids through first. Then I sent my wife. I was the last one to go through trying to get my plane. And I reached for my passport. It wasn't there. I reached in the other pocket. It wasn't there. I began to panic. My wife started crying as she saw me and said, I thought I'd be in a gulag forever. I explained to the Soviet guard, you know, what was going on. He couldn't have cared less. I wasn't getting out without a passport. At the last minute, a friend of mine on the other side started laughing, pulled out my passport out of his pocket. He had taken it as a joke. I cannot tell you, Tim, the relief I felt when I passed through that turnstile going from oppression to freedom, but I wouldn't have made it without my passport. Now, the Bible says in Matthew 7, Jesus said on the judgment day, many people are going to be pleading with Jesus for entry into heaven. Lord, look at all the good things we did. Did we not do this? Did we not? He'll say, depart from me. I never knew you. One of the questions I'm asked most often about heaven is, well, are Jews going to be in heaven, or Muslims going to be in heaven, or Baptists going to be in heaven, or Mormons going to be in heaven? I say, nobody goes to heaven or hell in a group. We go one by one based on our relationship with God. The only people who enter heaven are forgiven people. And the only way to make sure your passport is right is to have a passport stamped forgiven by Jesus Christ. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. And if there's anyone interested in going to heaven listening to this broadcast, the most important thing you could do is to close your eyes right now, pull off to the side of the road, and say to God, God, I know I'm a sinner. I know I deserve your punishment, but I believe you sent Jesus to die for my sins, and I'm trusting in him for the forgiveness of my sins.
As Christians, Dr. Jeffress.
Hold on just 1 second, Walker. I got to ask this question that everybody's wanting to know the answer to. This so-called friend of yours who took your passport and watched you go into panic and your wife crying. He's laughing on the other side of the glass.
He's going to hell. No.
Okay. I just wanted to make sure.
He's one of those ones going to hell. No.
No, I know. That's about a cruel a joke that you can play on
that's
somebody.
That's about
right
as bad as it gets.
Are y'all still friends today?
Yes,
or
we are friends.
You're a very forgiving man. All right, now Walker, go ahead with your question.
My question, and this will be my last question, about give us a teaser on the book, because we want folks to go and get the book so then you can read in depth on this stuff. But lastly, you just address non-believers how to access heaven through Jesus Christ, but there are Christians, myself, and a lot of times with the troubles of the world, as you mentioned earlier, it's easy to become weary and you just get tired of the sin and the struggle that this earth brings and that sin brings. And you just say to yourself, you almost say to yourself, look, you know, I'll take care of my family. I'll go to church, but I'm just ready to get to heaven. You get worn out. But scripture and your book, you talk about this. What we do here, the seeds we sow on this earth are important for our eternal home. Is that right?
That's right. And look, our good works are absolutely worthless in securing a place in heaven. That's by grace. Right. But the good works we do after we're saved greatly impact the kind of heaven we're going to experience. Mm-hmm. Heaven is not going to be a sanctified socialist society where everybody's treated the same. The Bible says there are rewards in heaven based on our faithfulness to Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:10, we're all going to appear before the judgment seat of Christ. Talking about Christians, mm-hmm. that we may be rewarded for what we've done in the body. And so what I say in this book, A Place Called Heaven, is the irony is the few brief years we spend on earth does determine the kind of eternity we experience. What we do on earth reverberates through the halls of heaven forever.
Mm. You're listening to the radio program Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. In addition to getting the book, folks, if you're listening to us and you were listening a few minutes ago when I asked Dr. Jeffress, how do you get into heaven? And he made a great told you you have to have a passport, as it were, to heaven. Your passport to heaven is forgiveness and a relationship with Jesus Christ. But that's why Jesus ultimately came to earth, was to die on the cross for our sins, the sins of the world. The world means each individual, as Dr. Jefferson said, collectively, the world and but it's the individual. But Jesus died for everybody who would ask for forgiveness of their sins. You can get out your Bible and read. I always encourage people to read. If you get out the Bible, don't go straight to
Revelations.
A Revelation, although it's a wonderful book to read. Go to the book of John and read that tonight or today, and that'll explain pretty much everything you need to know about Jesus, his mission here, and that's what we've been discussing, is the how you get saved is you give your life to Christ. If you want to know how to do that, do like Dr. Jeffers said, just bow your head, confess your sins, and ask Jesus Christ into your life. But if you want a basic introduction to Christianity, go to the book of John, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, the four Gospels. Go to the book of John and read that as soon as possible today. You're listening to the radio program Today's Issues. Now, we have this wonderful book available for you. It's $20. It's $19.99, actually. We cut a penny off. We cut a penny off because we love AFR listeners.
Right.
We wanted to give them that discount.
That's our story, and we're sticking to it.
We wanted to give them that discount, so we took that penny off, and we want to make this book. We are making this book available for $19.99, but it's a real book. It's hardback. It's a wonderful book on heaven that you'll read. You'll read more than once, and you'll probably pass it on to your friends and family. Mm. And the book is called A Place Called Heaven, 10 Surprising Truths About Your Eternal Home. You can order it this way. You can go on our website, afastore.net. Simple as that. It's front and center there on that website, afastore.net. Or if you're the kind of person who wants to pick up the phone and order it and use your credit card, you can call this number. Toll-free, 877-927-4917. You can call right now, right, Walker?
That's right. And also, you can call that number, visit afastore.net. And lastly, if you want to read more about Dr. Jeffress' ministry, his radio program, which airs here on AFR, your website, is this right, ptv.org?
That's it.
Pathway
and
to Victory.
You can download messages free of charge there at ptv.org.
Great.
Toll-free number to order the book, 877-927-4917. How much is Dallas doing, Dallas-Fort Worth area? What are you guys doing with your sister town down there, Houston, in that area?
Well, I know what our church is doing. You know, we decided instead of trying to create our own plan to help, we ought to partner with those organizations that are specialists in disaster relief.
Right. That's what we're doing.
Yeah. We work with Texas Baptist Men, a relief organization that's been around for 40 years, actually started by one of our church members that provides disaster relief. They've got teams on the ground. We're working with Samaritan's Purse to send volunteers now that the flood waters have receded for a rebuilding project. The Trusted World Organization, we've worked to gather supplies from our members to send down there, as well as to evacuees who have come to Dallas as well. So we've been very active in connecting our people in our church with other organizations.
What's your relationship with President Trump and Vice President Pence?
Well, I've considered President Trump a friend the last 2 years. He considers me a friend. I was with both President Trump and the Vice President last Friday, and I tell you, there has never been an administration that has reached out to evangelical Christians any more than this administration. And we ought to be grateful for that. We need to pray for them. You and I have talked off microphone about this. They are committed to religious liberty and religious freedom. Yeah. When we had this event at the Kennedy Center that I sponsored in July, President Trump stood there before me in the crowd and said, as long as I'm president, you will never have to choose between following your faith and obeying the law. He said, I, as president, you'll never be discouraged from practicing your faith or preaching what is in your heart. We've never had a president say that before.
Right. Yeah.
But I'll have to say, the key to that is getting these federal judges confirmed that the president has nominated.
Yeah.
They're being held up right now by arcane Senate rules, and it is important for us to call Senator Chuck Grassley and say, Senator Grassley, we want the president's nominees to these federal courts. We want them confirmed. Forget the blue slip rule. Forget these arcane Senate practices. These judges are going to shape the future of our country for decades.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm getting more cynical on the Republican establishment. Not that I've been a fan of theirs anyway, but
right.
And that, by that I mean these Republican senators, especially who want to keep these rules that are going to block anything being done that President Trump wants to do, that he ran on, and they're going to block the federal judges from being confirmed. If you're a senator and you're a Republican and you want to maintain those rules, I got to question your commitment to the will of the people, which the will of the people that voted for president. Now, granted, she won. Hillary Clinton won the
popular
vote. But still, it was pretty close. And the president won fair and square electoral college vote. So I got to question whether you really want to see those changes and those commitments followed through with that he ran on, that the Republican Party ran on, if you're for allowing the Democrats to block it and you're not going to stop them from blocking it through these arcane rules that you've talking about. And we don't want to talk much about them because it bores people and and they'll turn us off. They're much more interested in talking about heaven.
Amen.
Yeah, that's interesting. You know. With President Trump, 82% of the Christian community, I think, voted for him.
Right.
Of course, given the choice, there wasn't a choice. But he did make a lot of great overtures he committed on the pro-life issue, on judges, things that attracted Christians to vote for him. Mm-hmm. And the main reason I did, I wanted to keep her out, okay, because she would have been terrible. For the Christian community in America, especially Christian broadcasters and groups like ours. Mm-hmm. If Hillary Clinton had got in there, they would have come after us and other groups like ours, pastors like you. By they, I mean the secular progressives.
Could have shared a jail cell together.
Well, yeah, I know. I know. But because, I mean, really, these people hate our guts.
They do.
And you know that, Robert. And so in political terms, sometimes you got to go with the person who at least going to listen to you and care about what you have to say and not be enemies of yours, doesn't want to be your enemy. That's the case with President Trump. And his Supreme Court, Neil Gorsuch nominee, was a 5-star follow-through on his promise. Mm-hmm. And I hope he gets another one or two. If he gets another one or two appointments to the Supreme Court, you talk about Armageddon. We think we've seen it. I'm talking about political Armageddon.
Right.
In Washington, D.C., you threaten the Supreme Court with another Neil Gorsuch to replace a liberal?
That's right. But they are committed to appointing another conservative just like Gorsuch.
Who the president is?
Yes. And his team.
Praise God. That's more than anything, that's what we need right now.
And we need to support the president when it comes to that point.
Yeah, that's right.
He's going to do some things between now and then that you're not going to necessarily agree with, probably. Or wonder why he's doing what he's doing. After all, he is.
Which politician doesn't?
Well, that's true, too. And you got to admit, with Donald Trump, he's fun to watch, right?
Right.
You don't know exactly what he's going to say tomorrow.
Right.
Maybe good, may not be. Thanks, Robert. Appreciate it.
Good to be with you. Thanks.
We'll be back in 5 minutes. Stay with us.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.